I was supposed to put the title in there. Filled with the Holy Spirit is the title. Forgot one of the jobs I had. Anyway, our text is Acts 2:1-21. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus rose again on Easter Sunday, 10 days after he ascended into heaven, in the view of those who followed him. On this day, we celebrate what happened on that particular day of Pentecost, when Jesus' followers were filled with the Holy Spirit in a new and special way. We recognize also the continuing work of the Holy Spirit through everyone who is following and trusting in Jesus. Our text today is from that event itself, so let's consider a few pieces of the context before we get to that text. The first is the setting for what happened. Jesus had been crucified, but then he came back to life. These events, of course, are the focal point of all of history. But, at this point, only a few people knew about it. Several hundred. Not very many when considering the population of the world. After showing himself to plenty of witnesses and giving them some further instruction for what to do with him being gone, Jesus had gone back to heaven with his physical body going visibly up in front of his followers, leaving them with his last words that the news about this work, about what he had done to save the world, would be spread to the whole world through them and those that they would teach. Those original followers could only get so far, but eventually the news would get everywhere. And it nearly has now. Jesus has promised his followers before and after his death and resurrection, he gave them promises that they would receive the Holy Spirit, who is also God, along with Jesus and God the Father. And he told them to wait in Jerusalem for that event. And about 120 of them were gathered together there that day. So we consider today what that means in part, what that event means for us, the giving of the Holy Spirit. Another part of the context is the day of Pentecost. This was a celebration of the end of wheat harvest, 7 weeks after the Passover celebration, which is when Easter happened, Jesus' resurrection. This was one of the three festivals for the Jews where people would travel to Jerusalem to celebrate these festivals. One of three where they did that. Jews who lived in distant countries but still were devoted to following God. Some of those from other countries may also have made Jerusalem their home now, but had spent so much of their lives away from Jerusalem that their main language was different than the Aramaic that would have been spoken in Jerusalem, in that area. So we hear today about people in Jerusalem coming from the farthest reaches of where the followers of the one true God had spread out over time. One more thing to keep in mind as we read this morning that has a bearing on our text here. One of Jesus' closest followers, Peter, is going to begin speaking to the crowd that gathers, and we will consider more of what he says to them in our message next week, in our text next week. But for today, he begins that sermon by quoting something that had been written almost 900 years earlier, or about 900 years earlier, by a prophet named Joel. The little that we know about Joel's message and its context is that there had been a severe plague of locusts in the land of Israel. As often would be the message through the prophets, in Joel's day, God told his people that this plague happened because they had turned from him. They had turned away from him. And the prophets encouraged them to turn back. As also would often happen, God would go beyond just talking about saving them in their present need And he would turn his attention to humanity's ultimate need and use that event, that local short-term event, to talk about his purpose in the whole world and what he would eventually do. As was normal about with that type of looking to the future, many parts of the future would be joined together so that something in the near future, something that we recognize as being about Jesus' life, about, you know, at that time it would simply be the Messiah, they wouldn't know the name Jesus yet, and also something about the very end of the world, could all be spoken of together in one set of the future. And so we find that in what Peter quotes today. Peter quotes some of Joel's words, indicating that some of what he quotes, at least some of what he quotes, was being fulfilled on that day, if not the whole portion. Not necessarily the whole portion, but at least part of it was being fulfilled. So here are a few things to keep in mind as we hear the text this morning. This is 10 days after Jesus went back to heaven. He has promised that he would soon send the Holy Spirit to guide his followers. There are people from all over the world nearby where they're gathered, in the city. And Peter links these events, as he speaks about them, he links these events to what God says about his plan for the future of humanity. Our text today is Acts 2, verses 1 to 21. I'll invite you to stand as you are able as I read that this morning. Acts 2, 1 to 21, reading in Jesus' name. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to us this morning. Thank you for this account of the Holy Spirit filling these followers, your followers, in a special way. And as we consider what that means for us today, guide us in our hearts and our minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite the kids up today. We don't have too many with us this morning, but Buenos días, niños. Hoy vamos a hablar del día de Pentecostés.
Hola. Oh.
Bonjour, les enfants. Aujourd'hui, on va parler du jour de la Pentecôte.
Bonjour.
I got a little response. Okay, good morning, kids. Is that better? Well, that wasn't any particular gift of the Holy Spirit. I just spoke in a couple different languages. I happen to have learned. But did you hear in what we read this morning about them speaking in different languages? Did you hear about that? They didn't learn them. They just spoke in these different languages. Did anybody catch what languages they were or why they spoke in these different languages? No? No, I can't. I can't speak Portuguese, no. Well, our text today tells us something about why God allowed them to do that on that particular day. There were people that needed to hear the good news about Jesus, and they spoke other languages. And on that day, God gave Jesus' followers the ability to speak in other languages to tell his story. So today, also, what was the other thing? Did you guys hear the other thing that happened? What's that? Well, I don't know if their heads were burning, but there were tongues of flame, right? Or something that looked like tongues of flame that came down on their heads, right? So that's what your picture is today, if you want to color that. But think about these different languages and the Holy Spirit. And so we're listening today for what the Holy Spirit does in people who follow Jesus. All right. Oh, the extras. Okay, thank you. Maybe I'll take a break and color one of those later. Well, what an event. We start out this account with a significant portion of Jesus' followers gathered together waiting. Though, you know, it's a significant portion of his followers, but really it's actually a relatively small size of a small number of people when it comes to the size of a church, right? A gathering, 120 people. These are most of those who knew about how Jesus had fulfilled God's promises to save humanity from rebellion and death. That's not a very large, that's the only church in the whole world, right? Not a very large church. But here they are, on the day of Pentecost, celebrating that, waiting for what Jesus has promised them. All of a sudden, there's a sound, like the blowing of a violent wind. Though it doesn't actually say that there was wind, but there was a sound like it, a terribly large sound. It came from heaven and filled the room that they were in. For someone familiar with the stories of God, this would certainly remind them of times where God had spoken to people. When God appeared to the Israelites at Mount Sinai, when they had been rescued from Egypt, and God appeared to them and gave them what we know as the first part of the Old Testament. They saw lightning and heard thunder. There was a noise and a visual that represented God's presence. There was a demonstration very clear that this was something supernatural happening to these people, to these followers of Jesus. In addition to the sound, they saw something like tongues of fire. Not necessarily actual tongues of fire, but something that looked like it. And maybe it was, but the primary detail is it looked like tongues of fire. This would also easily be understood as representing God's presence, as the people might have remembered the pillar of fire that guided their ancestors as they had left Egypt. But here we have individual tongues coming down, individual flames of fire coming down on each of those who were in that room, resting on each of them individually. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the effect that this had was that each spoke in a different language as the Spirit enabled them. When it comes to being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's important to make clear that all people who are saved from eternal death, who will be in heaven one day, are saved by faith in Jesus. Whether those who lived before his life and death and resurrection or those of us who live after that. And the faith in Jesus that saves us is a gift from God, given through the work of the Holy Spirit. Whether that came before Jesus' life and death and resurrection or after. It has been through the work of the Holy Spirit. So what happened on the day of Pentecost and continued afterward and still continues today is a different way that the Holy Spirit works than simply bringing people to faith and trust in God. That way the Holy Spirit has worked through all of history, even before Jesus' life. But this is something new and different. From time to time before that day, the Holy Spirit would fill someone and work, often by giving them a word to preach. Often this would only happen for a short time. And it was primarily leaders in the community who would receive this. Prophets, usually, maybe kings, sometimes others, but most often leaders in the community. Our reading from Numbers today that we heard earlier told about some of the leaders that God worked through in this way once, in that particular instance. But most people, even those who were devout followers of God, would not have the Holy Spirit work through them in this way. Jesus seems to indicate in our reading from John that the reason for this, not just for his followers at that time, but for those who had come before, is because he had not yet been glorified. The gift of the Holy Spirit to spread the word was waiting for Jesus' work of redemption to be done. Until that time, it was mostly limited to the place where redemption would happen, to keep us focused on that place, in and around and surrounding Jerusalem. But the whole world needs to hear about redemption and salvation. And the day of Pentecost marked a change in how the Holy Spirit would work through people so that that message would get out. In that particular case, the work of the Holy Spirit was demonstrated in a clearly supernatural way. That's clearly visibly supernatural is not always or even necessarily usually the case. But it did happen that day, and it does happen sometimes. And the supernatural demonstration of that day had a purpose. Those who were there started speaking other languages because there were people around them who spoke those languages and needed to hear the message that they had. So now, in our story, we turn to a description of those people. These were people who were God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, is the way it's worded there. Not that they were from every single part of the world, but they were from all of the countries where Jews had spread out in earlier centuries. Luke lists some of those countries for us, compiling the words of the crowd into one statement, into one unified description of what was happening. First, he lists countries to the east, in what we now know as Iran, as far east as India. Jews had settled as far east as that, so they had come to Jerusalem here. Then he moves closer to Jerusalem by mentioning Mesopotamia, the land of Nineveh and Babylon, that were the first to forcibly exile Jews from their country. Then moving to the area around Jerusalem and to Roman provinces in what is now Turkey, continuing along the North African coast and across, and then crossing the Mediterranean to Rome, concluding on both sides of Jerusalem with the island of Crete to the northwest and Arabia to the southeast. Jesus' followers were declaring the wonders of God in all of these different languages. And the people understood them. And they were amazed. We don't get a long list here of what they were preaching. But these are people who just very recently were with Jesus. Can you imagine what they were telling? They were telling the stories of how they had seen God working. As they spoke in different languages, did they understand what they were saying? Did they hear themselves in their own language and the others heard them in their languages? We don't know. But they spoke and the people understood. Many of those they were talking to might have been able to understand the Aramaic that they knew, or at least the Greek that many of them knew, that most of them knew. So this might not have been absolutely necessary for the message to get out on that particular day. There could also have been translators. But think about somebody hearing God's message being told in the language that they know best. Think about the stories of Jesus being told. A Parthian from eastern Persia hears someone say, "I saw this man Jesus heal a man who was blind from birth. Wow! I've never heard anything like that." Someone from Libya on the Mediterranean coast hears someone say in their own language, "Jesus brought back a girl that had died, brought her back to life. Wow! No one has ever done that." Which of those who had been healed by Jesus were actually a part of those 120 who were there that day? We don't know for sure, but imagine someone from a remote mountain area of northern Turkey hearing someone say in their own language, "I was crippled. I couldn't get around. I couldn't do anything for myself. And I heard about this guy who healed people who were like me. I couldn't even get to him, though. So a few of my friends carried me and lowered me down through the roof. And Jesus told me to get up and walk. And I did. But you know what was even better than that? He told me that I was forgiven." Declaring the wonders of God. And of course, the greatest of all those wonders, Jesus' resurrection from the dead and the promises that he gave. We might hear this description of different languages and think of God reaching people in other places or even nearby who speak different languages. Maybe the work of missionaries in other countries come to mind. And, you know, to me, I say, well, wouldn't it be nice to not need language school to go talk to people and tell them about Jesus in their own language? Well, there is a need for the story of Jesus to be told in other literal physical languages. But it goes beyond that. People need to hear the wonderful works of God in the way that they speak and in the way that they understand the world. And some of this happens in the very same language that we already speak, but using words in a way that is different than how we might normally talk. The Holy Spirit speaking through us may not cause us to speak different languages miraculously, but sometimes the work of the Holy Spirit in us helps us to sense the words that someone needs to hear in their life story to tell them about who Jesus is. The culture around us, in many ways, speaks a different language than we do. Even those that speak English speak a different language of what life is like and what the world is like. The priorities are different. The way of looking at the world is different. At least I hope it is. And sometimes, especially if we've grown up in the church and know the stories of the Bible and know the message of Christianity, sometimes we might use churchy language. Maybe you've heard that before, that term, churchy language. And some of the people around us, especially those that may be older, may know that churchy language, though even then it might not be understood in the right way. But many, especially those who are younger, don't know that language at all. And the Holy Spirit may need to guide our words so that we speak the language of the people around us, to share the good news of Jesus, saving us from the consequences of choosing our own way and rebelling against God's way. There were so many people that day that experienced this event and asked each other what it could mean. Others, either because they just didn't want to believe what was happening, or because they just heard a jumble of noise. They said, "Oh, these people are just drunk." Either way, whichever was their experience that day, they needed an explanation. An explanation of what was happening. And Peter got up and he started speaking. Now, did each person understand what he said in a different language? Did the others who were there as well give the same message that Peter was giving, and we just have Peter's words and not theirs? Well, we really don't know, but he explained what was going on, And we hear now the beginning of that explanation. First of all, he says, it's only 9 in the morning. So you all should know that these men are not drunk. These people are not drunk. No, there's something else going on here. It's not that. This is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel 900 years ago. God says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. There will be prophesying, which can mean telling the future, but really the core sense of prophesying is simply preaching the truth or speaking truth. Peter says, this is what's happening. He says, we are in the last days. We are preparing for the day of the Lord, where he will come and judge the world at the end of time. The word is getting out. We're not in a position of waiting anymore for the promised Messiah. We're not waiting for redemption to happen. He has already come. He has done his work. Now, we just need to tell everyone. So spread the word. Now that it's time to spread the word, God has given us the Holy Spirit so that we can do it. Not just here and there, occasionally, once a week or once a month, but in every part of our lives. This is the focal point of our lives, getting the word out. That's what we have the Holy Spirit for, is to get the word out of Jesus. Other parts of Joel's vision that Peter quotes are probably referring more to the very end of time than what was going on that day. But he continues through that part, because he's getting to the point of all this, which comes a few verses later. Whatever the gift of the Holy Spirit looks like in our lives, whatever he is doing in our lives or in the lives of those who are trusting in him, the others who are trusting in him, whatever he is doing, Peter says, here is the goal. He tells them what the goal is of this, the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not just to impress people with some supernatural ability. It's not that. God used a supernatural demonstration to make it clear what was happening. That supernatural demonstration demonstrated that the Holy Spirit was filling these people. But we are not told that the work of the Holy Spirit will be visibly supernatural every time. It is supernatural, but not visibly supernatural, or even very much of the time. In fact, it most likely won't be visibly supernatural most of the time. But the Holy Spirit is still guiding us to what Peter says is the main goal. Here's what it is. So that we can communicate this message of hope to everyone who needs to hear it, which is, of course, everyone. This is the message. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's a summary of the message of Jesus and what he has done. This was the purpose for the speaking of different languages that happened on that morning. This is the purpose for the Holy Spirit in our lives. Not only giving us the gift of faith to trust in God and what he has done for us, but working through us, filling us, to work through us in a special way. Each one of us who is trusting in him in all of our lives, as we gather together to serve him together, as we are in maybe smaller groups, several individuals together, working together, or even individually in different parts of our lives. This is the purpose for God giving us his Holy Spirit. This is the purpose of our lives. So that we can let people know these wonderful words. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And sometimes these words that are given to us by the Holy Spirit are as simple as sharing with someone who needs to hear it what God has done for us. Maybe he has miraculously healed us or someone that we know. If he has, let's tell people about it. Maybe he has healed the bitterness of a relationship that was broken and given us the peace that comes when we forgive or the peace that comes when we've been forgiven, if we've been the one needing the forgiveness. If it's something like that, a relationship healed, let's tell people about it. Maybe it's telling about the peace that He gives, that He has given us when things have not been going well. But He's given us the sense and the belief that He is guiding for good what is happening. If that's what it is and how God has worked in us, let's tell people about it. Maybe there are people around us going through times just like those that we can tell about the wonderful works of God. And the Holy Spirit can guide us to the words that He wants us to use. Jesus said, referring to the Holy Spirit, that those who follow Him will have rivers of life flowing out of them. That's what the Holy Spirit does in us. Rivers of life flowing out of us. The people around us and around the world need to hear the good news of what Jesus has done. The culture around us tells us that the purpose of life is to have fun and enjoy ourselves. But the purpose of our lives is to tell the wonders of God. What a challenge it is sometimes to focus our lives on what really matters when so much around us distracts us. And at the same time, we can feel that we're not capable of doing it. But God has filled us with the Holy Spirit. And He will work in us to see what's important, to see the people who need Him. And He will give each one of us, individually and as we work together, what we need to tell each one of those who need Him in their own way what they need to hear. And rivers of life will flow out of us and do flow out of us. Let's pray. Father, thank You for giving us the Holy Spirit. Thank You that this was not just a one-time thing on that day or occasionally as happened in the Old Testament, but now we know that those who trust and follow You and have received Your forgiveness receive also the Holy Spirit. Thank You that He is guiding us in our lives. I ask that You would help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear and the words to speak, guided by the Holy Spirit, so that this message that we have of hope and new life, rivers of life, would flow through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.